Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
877-881-1053. What is the biggest game going on this weekend in the NFL? You could say the Cowboys game if you want. I'll tell you what, it was last night. It was last night, Kevin.
Pretty boring since Dolphins-Jets happened.
No, it hasn't. Thursday night's game was actually, it was a lot of fun because they started out, they unloaded, they said we're going straight to Odell Beckham Jr. and getting this thing started. Then it became a very physical football game between two division rivals. And then at the very end, let's go to cut two, Shippy. This happened.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
Oh, yeah.
I already had that queued up. Sorry. Oh. Here we go.
And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogunjobi in the head.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
And so that happened last night, Kevin. I think that last night's game, I thought it going in, was going to be game of the week for me because that was the one that I wanted to see the most. I got to watch it last night paired with some of the Mavericks game, but there are a lot of other games on slate. I did want to get to this real quick. Just real quick, DeMarcus Ware had a comment about what was going on.
My buddy DeMarcus Ware?
You were hanging out with DeMarcus Ware on Wednesday night, and this is what he had to say about last night.
I woke up this morning and I saw Myles Garrett. The things that transpired last night at the end of the game. Yeah, it was a heated time. But my question is, are we going to get to the problem of what triggered it? What causes the violence in the NFL when so many kids look at us as role models? Are we going to get to the bottom of what really happened instead of what we actually saw? And that's what really pisses me off, because we make so many excuses about, well, what about this? What about, there's no going up to that. Knowing how Myles Garrett is, quiet demeanor. I mean, trained the guy in the offseason, seen him at the Pro Bowl. But can we get to the bottom of what the hell just happened? What triggered it? I'm out.
Oh my goodness.
What do you think he was suggesting?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I originally had heard it described as him defending Myles Garrett. I don't know.
I think he's trying to say.
I don't know if that's what I took away from that at all.
I think he said, look, I mean, based on what I just heard, everybody's right. You can't do what he did. But why did it start? What was said? What went on? We'll never know. Do you think we'll ever have the audio between those two guys in that moment? Or maybe even throughout the game, whenever there was pressure being put on Rudolph and he's talking to these guys and they're having back and forth?
I do kind of wonder if they'll let you know. Like, I think people will come out and say, he said this or he did that.
Do you think his teammates would come out and be like,
yeah.
No? Or do you think that that Myles Garrett would have already said something?
Yeah, I think he's probably reading the room and saying now's not the time.
All right.
I'll go ahead and throw it out there. No matter what was said, I don't think it's okay. I don't.
Okay.
And people can destroy me all they like, but I just don't think it's okay to take what could potentially be a deadly weapon and smash someone in the bare head with it because they said something to you. Does that make what they said okay? Well, hell no, it doesn't. Am I surprised that Mason Rudolph appears as though he's not going to be suspended at all? I'm absolutely surprised by that. But it's just, it's not okay. You cannot hit somebody in the head with a helmet. It's not okay. Like, you can argue that all these other things are not okay too. That's fine. Multiple things cannot be okay. And me saying that Myles Garrett, what he did is not okay, doesn't mean that I'm authorizing everything else that happened. If Mason Rudolph said anything racially inappropriate, not okay. Mason Rudolph kind of goading him into this, not okay. Dude stomping someone in the face, not okay. None of it is okay. You don't have to make excuses for one and not the other.
There are a couple of other games slated, Kevin, and I'm pretty sure I know the one that you want to watch. You want to watch what Rico called this morning, or White Claw, or Chio. You want to see what he calls America's team, right? Or am I wrong?
Okay, well, Rico, I'm infuriated. I'm infuriated at that description. But I do agree that there's a strong argument to be made that outside of Cowboys-Lions, the game of most interest is the Texans versus the Ravens. So, Texans 6-3, legit top five MVP candidate in Deshaun Watson. Ravens 7-2, legit MVP front runner, second place guy in Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are 4-point favorites, and they're also the home team, which means if this was on a neutral site, Vegas sees these teams as essentially the same, maybe half a point to 1 point difference. So you're talking about two teams that are very equal. You're talking about two teams that have damn fine quarterbacks. And you're talking about two teams that, whether it's Ravens in terms of making a run at home field or the Texans in terms of making a run at getting a bye, that both have a lot to gain from a victory in this game. I can't wait. This game's going to be awesome.
Who's your favorite quarterback in this game?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, because you love the human of Deshaun Watson.
Watson has just done so many amazing things for humans, whether it's going back to, I think it was Hurricane Harvey, where he donated his first game check to three of the women who worked in the food services department because he had heard that their homes had been destroyed by that. Like, Deshaun Watson, he seems like an all-around excellent human being. Not that Lamar Jackson isn't. I just know more stories about Deshaun Watson being awesome at life. Mm-hmm. And then they're both incredible at football. And I love every time Lamar Jackson succeeds, some craggy old man who's like, that's not the way football is played. They have to shut up every week that goes on.
Get off my lawn.
Yes! The Clint Eastwood version in the NFL of Bill Polian already had to admit that he was wrong. So every week that Lamar Jackson excels and has to have people admit that they were wrong, I love it. And
good also, on him, though, for admitting it. A lot of people don't admit it.
That's an excellent point. Most people are like, I never said that. He absolutely, you're right. He owned up to it. He's like, whoops.
I can respect that.
You could also give Deshaun Watson a lot of credit for the Astros losing the World Series. Remember, he was supposed to go throw out that pitch, but he had to rest his eye. So if he'd have been there, that would have excited the entire crew.
And he was running the first surveillance video.
I was going to say, did he rest his eyes for the first pitch, or because he was supposed to be saying, change up, change up.
Bang, bang,
bang. There's also, I think there are two other games, Kevin, of very serious interest for Cowboys fans.
Jets and Redskins.
Not
I feel you.
No.
Combined 3-15. It should be exciting.
They shouldn't even play that game.
What?
Where is that? I don't even see that game. Oh, there it is. Ugh. It's 38.5. That's the
over-under.
That's the over-under in that game.
That's got to be the lowest of the week.
I like the Patriots-Eagles game at 325 because you have to know what's going on with the Eagles. You have to know whether they're winning or losing in this game, you want to see them get run off the field.
I'm glad that you brought that one up because if it weren't Texans-Ravens, I think Patriots and Eagles is a very logical selection for biggest game of the week. And it's big for a couple of different reasons. First of all, this is an inordinately low point spread for the Patriots. They're only favored by 3.5. Now, the game is in Philly, and that's leading to it. But that is still a low point spread. And then, like you said, from the Cowboys' perspective, you obviously want the Eagles to lose. You win, create some space.
All right, how weird would this be? The Rams and Bears play each other.
Ugh.
The Rams are 5-4. The Bears are 4-5. The Eagles are 5-4. The Cowboys are 5-4. If everything went, if let's say the Bears win, the Rams lose, Eagles lose, and Cowboys lose, all of those teams that were in the playoffs last year would be 5-5. All of them sitting there at 5-5. Look at, and all of them going into this season were in the top five teams. Like, they were all considered opportunities to go win the Super Bowl this year, and they would all be 5-5 hunting for the last playoff spot, and all vying, I guess. Are they vying even against each other for the spot in the wild card? Or
I
no?
I don't think so, because you're going to look at, well, I guess they could be, but you'd theoretically think it's the Vikings and the Seahawks to lose. What's interesting, too, is like they're all kind of there because of different reasons. You know, the Bears and the Rams, you can argue bad quarterback play, certainly for the Bears, and then for the Rams, the terrible defense. For the Cowboys, I don't know. I'm still just kind of sitting here trying to figure out exactly how we have lost four games. So they're all of their path to 5-5 would be different for all of them. It is, the NFL is, I know, generic take. The NFL is bizarre, but it also changes really quickly. So to your point, you could have the Rams win and go 6-4. You could have the Eagles win and go 6-4 by knocking off the Patriots and all of a sudden announce them as a force in the NFL once again. Things change really quickly every single weekend in the NFL.
And you know, Kevin, for quite some time, a lot of people were vying the Cowboys as that sexy favorite to go to the Super Bowl while the Eagles were involved in it. Rob Ninkovich, who played for the Patriots, defensive end linebacker, Super Bowl champion, ESPN, says that he doesn't think he can see the Cowboys there.
I don't know if they can hang with the big boys. I don't know. Look, when you watch them, you saw that they played poorly against better opponents, and they're winning games that they're supposed to win. But, you know, you play the Vikings, they have trouble. They have to go up to Foxborough. I think they're going to have some trouble in Foxborough. That's going to be a tough game. So, you know, I just think when you look at that NFC, the big picture – you have some good teams. You got Seattle. Can the Cowboys beat Seattle? Can they beat the Saints? Can they beat the 49ers?
That's a lot of Yeah, that was listen, how you feel. I don't think that's not what Jerry Jones is looking for.
Can they beat the Vikings? They didn't. So, you know, again, it'd be hard for me to say that the Cowboys, the way that they look right now, can get to the Super Bowl.
And I don't think anybody in DFW feels any other way.
100%. I agree with that. We talked about this the other day. The Cowboys are on track right now to still make the playoffs. Yes, they lead their division. They hold the tiebreaker for now with the Eagles. They would be in the playoffs, and they would play the Seahawks. And I think that they would be the underdog in that game. They would be the underdog against any of these playoff teams. Because he's right. You already lost to the Saints. You already lost to the Vikings. Do you foresee them beating Seattle or San Francisco? Not really. You already lost to Green Bay. Those are all the playoff teams, and you either lost to them or it doesn't look like you would beat any of them. And so that's my concern when the discussion is, well, you still lead the division. I get all that, and if you get into the tournament, it gives you a chance, and that's fair. But I just think their chance is not very high once in the tournament against the other teams.
Kevin, I just saw a tweet from Rich Eisen. You know how much I love and respect Rich Eisen. I made a comment once, and he liked and replied to it. I really love Rich Eisen. He's a class act. He said Joe Thomas, who was noted the first ever offensive lineman.
Yes. That was the thing that got put up on the NFL Network once.
Said he talked to Myles Garrett this morning, and he said you could see how bad he felt this morning. He was so remorseful. I feel like he's ready to accept the consequences the NFL laid out with the indefinite suspension. So, and as he should.
So no appeal?
I'm betting he's not going to appeal. I think the union will probably be like, we have to, because that's just what we have to do. But maybe you might be right. There might be no appeal because he's sitting there going, I should not have done that.
I think they just announced that Pouncey is going to appeal his three-game suspension.
With the basis of I was defending my teammate that got hit in the face with a helmet?
Probably. My argument to that always is you're appealing to the people who gave you the sentence to begin with.
And in three games, they play the Browns again. Is the three games just like, hey, let's not let this guy suit up against the Browns for a rematch?
Well, then, yeah, that might be it. I'm surprised. Smart. Yeah, I'm surprised that it's not only two games then, because that would still get him out of that other rematch game. But yeah, so supposedly he's going to appeal. If Myles Garrett doesn't appeal, that gives me a really strong indication that he's like, yeah, I messed up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Mickey Spagnuolo, both about no Matt Stafford, no representative at Kaepernick tryout, and then obviously all of this Myles Garrett stuff. We'll talk about it all with Mickey next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, let's talk to our man Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going this Friday afternoon?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. When do you take off? When do you go to Detroit?
We leave on the charter at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
1 o'clock tomorrow. That makes sense.
Do you usually partake in the team movie extravaganza? Are you busy doing important prep work? What happens there?
What do you mean movie extravaganza?
Isn't there usually like some sort of specific movie picked out for the charter?
Yeah, that's old school.
You don't do that anymore?
No, now you each got your own little device on the back of the seat in front of you, and you pick out whichever movie you want. But yeah, you're right. That I forgot about that. That's what it used to be. And today's movie is...
Something to hype you up, man.
Yeah, but now you can pick out whatever you want.
Well, it would make sense that there's a flight leaving at 1, and it's got everybody on the plane, and that they aren't going to stop in Atlanta for the workout of Colin Kaepernick. But Jerry said that they will not have anybody there, that they're going to watch that on video.
Never know what you're going to get when you ask the question, right?
Yeah, no.
Everybody was assuming that they were going to have somebody there.
Are you proud of us for asking
that question? I was. I pounded the desk. Because you know what? We were waiting for Jason to come in for his press conference. He was a little bit behind. And so somebody said, well, why don't you have it on with Jerry? So I turned it on. So everybody in the press room heard you guys ask the question.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, if they're not taking that look, what do you see... What do you see in person that you can't see on film?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I don't know if they're going to make him available for interviews, you know, like one-on-one things with the different teams there. But I think I read something where that they were going to tape whatever, you know, interviews were done with him. So I didn't know if it was going to be a group thing or what the deal is. And I would think that would be the only thing if you were intimately intent on trying to sign him, that would be the benefit. You know, it's sort of like, when you go to like the combine, you know, that all that stuff's taped, right? But you get a chance to interview guys. And I think those things are as important, if not more. Same thing with the Senior Bowl too, by the way. The interviews that you can get with the guys after the practices, the different teams can sign up and go, okay, we want this guy, and this guy. I think those are as valuable, if not more, than the actual watching the workout.
Now, in terms of one more, like, big picture NFL thing, I guess, what do you think about the NFL's quick and seemingly stern response to Myles Garrett's actions last night?
Oh, I expected it. Didn't you guys?
Yeah.
Right? Just because of the nature of the game now and where you're at with all the worry about concussion and the fact that, you know, the guy suffered, was it Juju Smith?
Yeah, he got a concussion.
I mean, he had a stereo one, right?
Yeah.
From both sides. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, that looked painful. I mean, frighteningly.
In lieu of that, I was figuring, you know, they would at least get what Haynesworth got for, you know, what he did to Andre Girard that game, stepping on his face when his helmet came off when he was on the ground.
Right, I remember that.
And I believe that was 5 games. So what does he get now, 6 and play? They've played 10, right?
Yeah, so he's got 6. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, but... Also, he has to talk to, he has to talk to the commissioner before he possibly gets reinstated for 2020.
Yeah, and fined, right?
Yes.
Serious. I mean, a serious fine.
So, yeah, and both teams got
fined, I don't know
too.
If you guys heard when I was talking with the guys this morning. I was telling the tale, and this shows you how the league and things have changed in 34 years. But in 1985, the Cowboys were playing a preseason game against the Chicago Bears. And it was the first quarter, and things were getting a little rough. And Randy White and Bears offensive lineman Keith Van Horn got into it. And Randy
went on to play for the Mavericks, right?
Do what now?
Went on to play for
the
Mavericks.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, not quite the same size, by the way. And Randy ended up yanking Van Horn's helmet off, right? And the guard that was playing next to Van Horn came over and kind of tried to intercede and pushed Randy. And Randy took the helmet in his hand and bopped him on top of the head.
Oh.
Now, he had his helmet on, right? But he bopped him a good one, and then the you know, everybody started getting involved in something, right? Randy got thrown out of the game, and afterwards he got fined $1,000.
No, what percentage of that was
$1,000?
Yeah, $1,000, and all everybody else that got in skirmishes in that game got fined $300.
All right, but that's again. What? Let's point out what percentage of his like paycheck do you think that $1,000 was?
Oh, I think it was probably. Well, he you don't get paid for preseason games, right?
Uh huh.
So
okay.
He lost $1,000 to play one quarter, and which. I remember several years ago we had Randy on one of our Legends show, and I said, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's a preseason game, and you got in a fight? And he goes, well, you know, the upside was it was the first quarter. It's 100 degrees at Texas Stadium. I didn't have to play the rest of the game.
It was so, worth it to pay the $1,000.
Yeah, it was $1,000 not to play, right? Oh, I don't know, though. I mean, he had one of the larger contracts, so he was probably making maybe $500,000 a year, something like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, that happened before, and that's what the fine was. And now, you know, all these years later, you know, with our sensitivity towards concussions, now we see what a difference 34 years makes.
Yeah, but even still, like with sensitivity, that's you can't do that, right?
No, you can't do that. Not and especially when the guy doesn't have a helmet on.
Yeah,
you know, and then let this be a lesson to future quarterbacks: if they lose their helmet, don't go after the guy
for real,
right?
You would think that would be something that you would just inherently know, but
time to go to the sideline.
I guess not. So,
especially when the game was over.
Yes.
And I told the guys this morning, I said, you know, I didn't see it because the game was over and I turned it off and did something else, right? What was it, like 8 seconds left?
Yeah, it was 21-7, so.
Golly.
Now, the Cowboys, and we anticipated this would happen, but it's official, going to be no Matt Stafford, so the Cowboys seemingly catch another injury-related break. How do they take advantage of this injury-related break?
Well, they better get after Jeff Driscoll's self. I was going to say something wrong there. Sorry.
Appreciate you censoring yourself.
Yes. I had the dump button here, right here, right? they need to get after him, make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Do not let him feel like he's got the time of day the way they allowed Sam Darnold. I know he's not a young quarterback. This is his fourth year, but he hasn't played that much. I think last week was his sixth start in the NFL. I think he went 1-4, if I remember correctly, with Cincinnati. So when guys haven't played a lot, especially quarterbacks, they're not used to the speed of the game. They're not used to seeing things instantly and get that pass off. And if you can put pressure on them, you'll really confuse them and make them uncomfortable, and that's what they need to do. And if that means blitzing, then you better blitz. If you can get there with four, great. Because if he has time, you know, they have some nice wide receivers there. The Galladay guy leads all wide receivers in touchdowns with 8. I think Cooper's tied for second with 7. You know, Marvin Jones, Amendola, tight end too. So, yeah, do not let him get comfortable in the pocket. I think that's got to be the bottom line for this game.
One of the things I was kind of concerned about and asked Jerry about this morning too was, you know, when it comes to being 2 yards away, will you be stubborn? Do you want your team to be stubborn and confident that they can get those 2 yards running, or do you want them to take a different approach and go with a hot hand? And he said that he thinks that they're going to continue to kind of be that kind of team because they have the smarts and they have the money invested in that offensive line and they need to take advantage of it.
Sort of like they tried to do the possession before when they were first in goal at the six and they threw the ball twice.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Right? Whatever works is the right decision.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, Kevin.
It's the wrong decision. Yeah,
so why can't we just do the thing that works every single time? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Right? especially since I think I have the number right. They're leading the league right now, converting third downs at 51.3%.
Wow.
And only once in their history have they ever finished the season above 50%, and it was 50-point-something in 1978. Everything else, their highest in franchise history was in the 40s. So they've been pretty good at it, just weren't real good at that one.
Yeah.
And you would think, you know, with everything you got, running the ball 2 yards with Ezekiel Elliott's not real difficult. I think Kellen Moore said, yeah, when the first down is staring you in the face, you just go get it, but... yeah, it didn't work. So you move on and you look at your matchups and you look at, you know, what's working, what isn't, and then go from there.
How does the matchup then for the Cowboys run game against them pair then? Is that their the biggest advantage for this Cowboys team?
Oh, well, I just think, you know, they're just total offense, right? This is the number one offense in the league in total yards per game. So, however, run it, throw it. You know, they've been throwing it awfully well. You know, the Lions did, you know, they did give up 20 points to the offensively challenged Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. You know, 20 sounds like, well, I'll take 20, right? Well, yeah, but it was the Bears and they've been struggling. So, yeah, I just think that you don't turn the ball over. You don't make any silly mistakes. You don't kick a field goal on first and goal at the six because you can't three plays. You can't get any closer. You ought to be able to score 30 points against this team. I just think that's what, you know, if you look at what they've done, every game they've won, they've scored at least 30 points. So, you know, maybe this is another, and it needs to be, right? It needs to be another 30-point performance. It needs to be a win. It may not go down as a must win, but to me it's a need to win. Because of what's ahead of them in the next 3 weeks.
I couldn't agree with that more. I'm curious, do you get the sense at all that, like, certain possibilities will arise where you're a little bit more aggressive? Because the one I think about is, you know, you kick the really long field goal early against Minnesota, and I know that you have done exceedingly well at really long field goals, but given how slow this team has started, do you think you might find a situation where, you know, maybe you're at about midfield, maybe you're at about the opponent's 40 and you're facing that, you know, fourth and three. And they're like, you know what, let's go against what the statistics would say and let's try to jumpstart this thing.
Oh, I've seen them do that before. If it's a reasonable fourth and whatever, I don't recall what it was fourth and when they kicked the 57-yarder against Minnesota.
I was thinking it was 4 or 5, something.
Yeah,
along
it was longer.
Lines.
It might have been 6. I absolutely agree with that. You know, and I think that was the reason why he tried the field goal. You know, he was trying to jumpstart an offense that was slow, and it was 4th and 6. I just looked it up real quick.
Oh, nice.
And so I thought that was you know the impetus for his decision was, God, we're struggling so early. If I can just get 3 here and we can feel good about ourselves. Now, maybe it was 3 too far, but it wasn't too far. He's got the distance, right? He just shanked it. You didn't even give it a chance. I agree with you. 4th and 2 and you're at the 39, go for it, right? Mm. 4th and 1,
yeah.
Go for it. Yeah, absolutely. And they've done that before. I think 4th and 6, you might be... the percentages probably aren't with you.
We win in this game, Mickey?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially damn right!
Especially after I heard that guy on this morning was RJ was on. This
RJ
morning,
and
right?
Eric.
And Eric, yeah. They had that guy on from Detroit Radio. Oh, man.
He sounded depressed.
He was ready to throw them in the river, right? In the lake. Lord. So it's like I told them, I said, yeah, I was going to pick like a cozy 24-21 win. And after I listened to him, I said, well, what about 31-17?
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know that that helps him out any, since it didn't help him out against the Vikings.
Oh,
but,
Mickey. It helps me.
It helps you? You feel better about yourself?
Yes, I do.
Well, right, good. I'm glad to help out.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right. You guys take care. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Kevin, real quick, Tom Pelissero says that that Mason Rudolph will be fined, does not see a suspension at the moment. Breaking news brought to you on 105 Through the Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports, and brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. And then here's the statement from Myles Garrett. Last night, I made a terrible mistake, lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. I know that we are all responsible for our actions. I can only prove my true character through actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, our entire organization, our fans in the NFL. I know I have to be accountable for what happened, learn from a mistake, and I fully intend to do so.
Okay, good. That's exactly what you would want to hear from him. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, if you miss any of what Jerry said, we'll bring you a little bit of that. Plus, we're going to make you some more money, just like we did last week with the spread. All of that next right here on 105.3 The Fan. But before we get to any of that, I want to help potentially save you some money or get you out of that financial hole that you've been in. What do? You call up Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com. I know you might be thinking, KNC, I don't want to make that phone call. It's an embarrassing phone call to make. All right, fair enough. Well, guess what? This is their business. Whatever story you've got, they've heard a variation of it before, and they can still try to help dig you out of that financial hole. That seems like a phone call worth making.
It's a really tough situation, Kevin, and I use the word breathe. It feels very suffocating whenever you have debt that you don't think you can ever get out of. And you're like, who can I call? Who can I talk to? Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS is exactly who you need to call. Don't call an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to a Tolo first. He's one of you. He's one of us. He's on your side. It can be very tough to say, I'm going to make my decision to discuss something like this. But don't let that pride get in the way of making a call to Mark that could change your life and allow you to have financial freedom in the future. Stop the harassing bill collector calls and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS and DallasTexasLegal.com. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, about to get into some picks against the spread because Kevin won some money for you last week.
You're welcome.
And if you continue to listen to him, I'm betting that you could probably win some more. Our good friend Sean Heath is hanging out in studio with us today as well. He is the PA guy for the Dallas Mavericks. He has brought basketball for Peace-a-thon. A lot of people have been asking about Peace-a-thon, Kevin.
It is a go, a team-signed basketball. So if you want that Kristaps Luka goodness all together on a basketball, we got it.
By the way, Sean Heath was the third guest that we had on the KNC Masterpiece ever.
And Staubach.
And Herschel Walker. So we had.
Oh, wow.
It kept going up from there. You know, it went up from Staubach. So,
yeah.
We've always appreciated him.
Some high company to hold there.
If you're ever down at a Mavericks game and you're hanging out with, you know, watching Luka and KP, always stop by the best seat in the house and say hi to our man, Sean Heath. He's a good fella, no matter what Choppy says. All right. But right now, let's go ahead and actually, Kevin, before we get into these picks against the spread, I wanted to get to these two things that Jerry Jones said with us this morning.
Sure.
Jerry was, this is something I was very proud of you for asking this question. It was my favorite one. With the recent talk of Ellie Goulding in the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
What were his thoughts there?
Well, I know it to be blind bias when it comes to someone walking up blind to it. Doesn't see anything but help the needy in terms of the hungry or in terms of somebody that needs some shoes or someone that needs a night's sleep or some child that needs Santa Claus. And so it's blind to that. In my mind, it's the most unbiased organization there is in the world, and certainly the United States. That's why I'm such a big supporter of it. And I know it helps millions and millions of people. I'm so proud of the fact that Charlotte initiated and has really taken our Thanksgiving Day game and used that visibility. As many as 60, 70 million people during the course of the game and during the course of the build-up to the game, become aware and reminded about the Salvation Army and the Red Kettles. And I'm so proud of that because it lets us take the celebrity and it lets us take what our players are about and our coaches are about and the interest on television that people, millions, will look at that Thanksgiving Day and become aware of what Salvation Army is. So I am so proud. It may be the thing that I'm most proud of about what the Cowboys in professional sports can bring to helping those that can't do it themselves.
And what I'm just about to say is what I said there. Wow. When he says that might be the thing I'm most proud of in professional sports, that's a pretty big statement.
They've been working on that for a long time, and it becomes a very big deal. I mean, just look at how many, look at how Zeke got fined for jumping in the kettlebell.
What an iconic moment that turned out to be, too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's you'll see that coming up. You're going to see all the tweets with all the memes and GIFs of Zeke popping out of there, and it's a lot of fun because of what they've done, and hopefully the message can kind of get turned around in a different manner. But, you know, I think they brought some intrigue this week to what was going on there.
Absolutely. I mean, Ellie Goulding came out hard against the Salvation Army after her fans said that they weren't right for the LGBTQ community, and she was like, well, I'm going to investigate. And so that's why I wanted to know what he thought, because there was like a lot of people bad-mouthing the Salvation Army, and I thought, surely he won't abide by that, right?
Yeah, and then we asked him if I asked Mickey about this moments ago, but I wanted to get your take on this. Players have said they still believe Zeke is the solid option to pick up the 2 yards. Do you agree with the players?
With the quality of offensive linemen that we have, and their sophistication, they're not only great athletes, but they're high quality. I mean, they have a high level of knowledge about the game. And I think anybody that has watched us know how the velocity that Zeke can hit the line or that Zeke can power through, just his style of running, speaks to making short yards. And so I think it's logical to think that in a lot of the cases when we need a short yard that Zeke will have it.
Kevin, now I know your take on this is just do what wins.
Yeah.
Like just if you see that it's and you know what? Mickey said it right. If it had worked, we're all like, yeah, that's why we run the ball because that's what we're good at. But you identified, everybody else identified, the Cowboys could not run against the Vikings. They could not win there. And so they said, hey, let's go ahead and try it again. But I'm hot hand guy, man. If you got the opportunity to win with something else, try it.
Dude, I'm with you 100%. And I know in the past I would feel that that's the way to go, but I don't necessarily know if I feel that way anymore. Now I'm kind of like, maybe take your chances with a pass.
All right, let's get your gambling itch scratched right now. 877-881-1053. Kevin, our 2019 Week 11 picks against the spread. Let's start this thing off now. Steelers at Browns, -3.
I mean,
probably take the Browns.
That game already happened, so yeah. I did take the Browns.
All right, let's go.
Just for the record, though, if you want to compare... Last week, Dallas Morning News, they were 3-8-1 by picking all of the NFL games. 3-8-1 against the spread. We were 5-2-1. So that would be better.
All right, then Saints -5.5 at the Buccaneers.
This is kind of a tough call because the Saints screwed us hard last week. They really did. But then Drew Brees. You wouldn't have guessed that. So, but then Drew Brees said, I was disappointed in the offense, and I think they're going to be upset about that, and they're going to prove a point, and Jameis Winston is still a turnover machine. So, one more time, I'm going back with the Saints, but if they don't cover the spread, I'm calling for Teddy Bridgewater.
Do you get furious when you lose one bet, even though you won five?
100%. Yeah. I can't tell you how mad I was when I saw the Falcons smoking them, because then at that point, I think we were 4-5-0, and I was like, what? And so, or 4-0-1. And so I was furious because, like, we didn't just lose that one. We lost it in spectacular fashion because the Saints got their heads kicked in. Plus, they gave up a lot of points. So we lost that one by like 20 points or something. So, yes, I was very upset about that.
But the money doesn't change how many points, though.
I know, so but I was still mad. Look,
yeah,
it hurts when you lose by 20 or 1. It's okay. That gray area where you're like, you lost by 8. You're like, well, what can you do?
It's like everybody this week was like, the Cowboys only lost by 4 to the Vikings. And you're like, what are you talking about? Did you not see the game?
Yes, it would have been better if they lost by 12.
Yeah, what if they lose by 4 to the Detroit Lions? Are you going to say the same thing? No.
I'm going to be furious.
I'm already mad no matter what.
You're welcome, Shippy. Jaguars at Colts -3.
Yeah, so Bridgewater, word is he's going to be back for that. I'm still not buying into Foles, and I know the Colts have...
You mean Minshew? Bridgewater? I'm sorry. I was confused.
Brissett. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Sorry. Brissett.
Yeah, he's supposed to be starting. I got him in my fantasy team.
He's back. And I'm still not really buying into the return of Foles. And I know the Colts are another team that had an awful, awful loss. But I'm going to go against convention. Give me the Colts.
All right. Bills -5.5 at the Dolphins.
Give me the Bills.
Why? Hold on.
Give me the Bills.
That's a lot of points to be working with there, Kevin. I mean, that's a lot of points. 5.5 points. Why are you saying the Dolphins can't spread against the Bills? Bills. They don't score a lot of points. They just lost by 3 to the Browns over the weekend.
Man, I'm a big fan of all the teams that just lost. And the god-awful Miami Dolphins have won 2 in a row. So maybe this is a poor pick and people can get outraged. The hell with it. Give me the Buffalo Bills.
And if you're in your car right now and you're thinking to yourself, how do I write down all of these while I'm also driving at the same time? Don't forget,
careful.
You can use the radio.com radio rewind feature. Go back, listen to this so you can make your bets appropriately with your friends, because that's okay.
And not your bookie, unless he's your friend.
It is fine. It is not illegal to bet on Bovada or wherever else, because they're set internationally, so you're fine.
Yep.
Wink.
No, not a wink.
Should I dump that?
Wink.
No, you dump him saying wink, the rest of it.
I think it's too late.
I winked with both eyes at the same time.
That is just called a blink.
Texans at Ravens -4.
Oh, man.
This is a tough game. I'm not betting on this game. I don't bet on it, right? Or is this the game you want to bet on because it could be the most exciting?
Yeah, I think I'm going to bet on it. I think the Ravens win by a field goal. So give me the Texans +4.
Broncos at Vikings -10.5.
What? God, the Broncos are so freaking terrible.
But they got, don't they have Drew Lock? Von Miller told us earlier today that he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, but he's not playing in this game, right? Because he's too busy throwing incomplete passes in practice. You know what? I am going to take the Broncos and the points. You know why? Because it's just going to infuriate Cowboys fans. Because that's what happens. The Cowboys lose to a team or play close with a team that you're like, they're not any good. And then what happens the next week? They really hammer home that they weren't that great to begin with. The Vikings lost to the Mahomes-less Chiefs. So I don't know why we're pretending like they're the 91 Redskins or something like that. Go ahead and take those points.
Patriots -3.5 at the Eagles.
Take the Patriots. That spread is curiously low. I don't believe in the Eagles. Go ahead and take the Patriots on that
Even after what happened against Baltimore with the Patriots, huh?
Dude, Baltimore, you can make an argument that Baltimore is like, what, the fourth best team in the NFL? The Eagles ain't in the top 10.
Cardinals at Niners -11.5.
Ugh.
That is a lot of points.
And
Kyler looked pretty good last time against the 49ers.
Yeah, offense is getting going too, man.
All right, I'll go ahead and take all those points with the Cardinals.
All right, and Bears at Rams -6.5.
No, the Rams should not be favored by a touchdown over anybody right now. I know the Bears suck. I get that,
whoa.
But the Rams, they that's just lost to the Steelers, and their win before that was against the hapless Vikings. So, no. Yeah, I'm not buying into it. I'll go ahead and take the Bears. I'm not saying the Bears are good. That's a reflection of exactly what I think about the Rams. Give me almost a touchdown. I'll make that deal.
I bet on bad teams all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to do bad
things. Dude, and those teams don't have to win.
Yeah.
They just have to cover the spread.
Yeah,
I didn't say any of those teams were going to win. I just need them to cover the spread. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike Trout is better than we possibly deserve, plus our brand new segment, Mike Francesa's Wonderful World of Technology. You won't believe his ideas. Next, right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.